Okay, open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 48. Isaiah, chapter 48. I want to read the first 8 verses. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. You call yourself from the name of Israel, the name of Jacob. You call yourself by the name of the Lord, but not in truth or righteousness. Your worship is phony, hollow, pretenseful. For they call themselves of the holy city and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. All of the prophecies that God gave to the nation of Israel in the past ushered forth from his mouth, and they all were fulfilled. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck, it is iron sinew, and thy brow brass, no humility, pride, arrogance, stubbornness was their lot. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee, therefore it came to pass. I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Until you start praising your false gods for what I did, I told you ahead of time what I was going to do, and then I did what I told you I was going to do. This is God rebuking the nation of Israel. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not declare it. I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knowest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open. For I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. Let's go back to verse 6, and I want to pull out this verse for my text. God said to Israel through the prophet Isaiah, I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know. I have showed thee new things from this time forward, hidden things, and thou didst not know them. The prophecies of God to Israel from this moment changed completely from what the prophecies were up until this time. The prophecies until now, even Isaiah's, earlier prophecies, dealt with the condition of Israel and Judah from the time of their great rebellion against God after the days of Solomon until the captivity by the Babylonians and the Assyrians, the destruction of their temple, the destruction of their city. They were taken into exile and slavery because of their disobedience to God. God gave them prophets repeatedly, warning them to repent of their idolatry, of their stubbornness, their iniquity. They would not hear. God sent them plagues. God sent them war. God sent them pestilence. And still, they would not hear. Finally, God took them into captivity, completely destroyed their nation, destroyed their city, destroyed their temple. Those were the prophecies that comprise the early predictions of the prophets that we read about in the Old Testament. But at this point, through Isaiah, God is saying to the people of Israel, who are in captivity, all those prophecies have come to pass. God says, now I'm telling you, I'm showing you new things that you've never known before, things that I've never told you before. I'm telling you brand new things that were hidden from you until now. Now, without going into too much detail at this point, I have to at least give you this summary. The new things that God was referring to pertain to Christ, the church, and the new covenant. Old Testament Israel knew nothing of this. The prophets knew nothing of this until God began revealing it to some of them at this juncture. They knew nothing of the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after the exodus from Babylon and the construction of the second temple, Zerubbabel's temple, and then later Herod's temple, which led to the creation of the church, the body of Christ, comprised of Jew and Gentile. All who are one in Christ are part of the church. This was something the Old Testament prophets could not understand or foresee. And then the new covenant, the covenant of grace, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. The old covenant of law was over. It had been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God had given to man a new covenant that was outside the Mosaic law, of which the Mosaic law had nothing to do with. And now, according to the new covenant, they are Jews, which are not Jews outwardly, in other words, biologically, born as a Jew, but they are Jews, which are Jews inwardly by the Spirit. When we trust Christ, whether we are Jew or Gentile, or whatever our ethnicity, our ancestry, our race, our heritage, matters nothing. All who put their faith in Jesus Christ are part of the new covenant, the body of Christ, which is totally separate from the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant having been abolished, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. And the New Covenant now has taken its place. All are one in Jesus Christ. Nobody's race, nobody's heritage, nobody's ethnicity has a monopoly on salvation or the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody. The Jews had a monopoly under the Old Covenant, but that has been abolished. This is the message that Christ is going to begin to give to the Old Testament prophets in the latter era following the captivity in Babylon, leading up to the building of the Second Temple, which led to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of the church, and the new covenant which God has given us through His blood. Now, there are three parts of this that you need to be at least somewhat familiar with. I would write them down or watch this message again, because this is something that we will talk about in the future that's very important. The new things. I show you new things, okay? The first new thing, the exiled Jews in Babylon were going to separate from Babylon. God was going to allow King Cyrus to assist the Jews in leaving the captivity of Babylon. Of course, the Chaldeans at that time had already overthrown the Babylonian Empire. And the exiled Jews are separated from Babylon. It's very important. They were a subjected people under subjection to an alien pagan Gentile power. God was going to allow them to separate from that, not only that city, but that system of law that they lived under for all those years. The second, the Christian Jews, after Christ was born and the church was birthed, the Christian Jews separated from Jerusalem. These Jewish believers had only known a Judaic way of life. They only knew the Old Covenant. They only knew the city of Jerusalem and temple worship. That's all they knew. When Christ introduced to the church the new covenant, old things were passed away, and behold, all things became new. Temple worship was over. The laws of the Old Testament, ceremonial laws, dietary laws, feast days, holy days, were over. The submission to the Pharisees and the ruling elite among the Pharisees and scribes, etc., were over. God was preparing to destroy the city and the temple of Jerusalem, which he did in 70 AD. Between the birth of the church in Acts 2 and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman army in 70 AD, God separated the Jewish Christians from the city of Jerusalem, from its rule, from its power, from its authority, from its influence. God totally severed the Jewish Christians from the city of Jerusalem and everything that that meant. And by the time the city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 70 AD, the Christian church knew there was nothing left of the old covenant. Only the new covenant had been given them forever. And they began to spread the gospel of the new covenant throughout the known world from that time forward. So the separation of the exiled Jews from Babylon, the separation of the Christian Jews from Jerusalem, and thirdly, the separation of all spiritual Jews, all who are one in Christ, separate from mystical Babylon. That's the Babylon of Revelation. I preached a message not too long ago, the Babylon of Revelation 18, in which I explain in detail the Babylon of Revelation. What it is, what it's not, and our relationship to it. Here's what people don't understand. Because of the predominance of Schofieldism over the 20th century, and the adaptation of the false doctrine of a pre-tribulation rapture, the church has been lulled to sleep, thinking as long as they are here and they haven't been raptured to heaven, the Antichrist must not be here. The beastly system must not be here. So no matter how evil and wicked the system is that they see in front of them, they do not recognize it as Antichrist because of this perverted doctrine that they've been taught. The truth is, Antichrist is here right now. The truth is, the beastly system is here right now. We are facing, we ourselves, an Antichrist beastly system straight out of the book of Revelation. That is the doctrine that has perverted and neutered the church. Now, just before I leave this totally, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown writes this about new things in verse 6. Antitypically, the prophecy has in view the new things of the gospel treasury. From this point forward, the prophecies as to Messiah's first and second advents and the restoration of Israel have a new circumstantial distinctness such as did not characterize the previous ones, even of Isaiah, 19th century Bible scholars. Babylon, in this view, answers to the mystical Babylon of Revelation. You see that? These old commentators understood this. Matthew Henry, John Gill, Albert Barnes, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, they all understood this truth. It wasn't until the popularity of the Schofield Reference Bible in the early 20th century, which perverted an entire generation of Christians, pastors, Bible teachers, colleges, universities, etc., did the understanding of this truth get lost. They understood this. That's why he said, Babylon, in this view, answers to the mystical Babylon of Revelation. not the old city of Babylon that took Israel captive, but the mystical city of Babylon as foretold in the book of Revelation, which is germane and applicable to us right now. That's why I encourage you to get my message, The Babylon of Revelation 18. If you haven't already got that, please get that message. All of that is an introduction. Using that as a segue into the message. God showed us much in 2020. God said to Israel, I'm going to show you new things that were hidden from you before. God showed us much in 2020. Number one, God showed us the spiritual surrender of the establishment church. The total unequivocal surrender of the establishment church. Believe me, I understand the difficulties that many pastors have faced this year. Many pastors have been put in the middle by their own congregations. Half of them demanding lockdowns, masks, social distancing, and all the rest. And the other half demanding freedom. And the pastors are torn. A lot of pastors, sadly, are not the men of God in their pulpits. They are puppets of the deacon board, the trustee committee, various other court committees and boards. They are not their own man. Or should I say, they're not God's men. They're board men. They're committee men. They're church men. And so they walk this tightrope in their congregation, afraid of splitting the church over it. Some of these men are in their hearts good men. Some of these men want to do right. Some of these men love the Lord. All of that notwithstanding, in the first place, a real man of God does not walk a tightrope in his church. A real man of God does not care if people in the congregation don't like what he has to say. A real man of God tells the truth no matter how many people walk out the back door. That said, every pastor, and I say this with kindness, with understanding, but also with conviction and absolute assurance. Every pastor and every church congregation that refused to resist the COVID lockdowns, closures, and restrictions surrendered to the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. You can call it anything you want, but you have surrendered to the spirit of Antichrist. Because everything about the phony COVID pandemic is from the spirit of Antichrist. Everything about it. The establishment church is buried beneath the tombstone of government bribes and moral cowardice. Churches were and are paid by the taxpayers to close their services. Paid by the taxpayers to go along with the phony COVID narrative. Now, you can call it stimulus money all you want. What it really is an old-fashioned bribe. It's a bribe. And Joel Osteen got $4.4 million worth of bribe to submit to the government narrative. Government bribes and moral cowardice defined the churches of America today. What started as government-created tax-exempt organizations in 1954 turned into full-fledged government houses of prostitution. Churches today are no more than government prostitutes. Amen. Being paid for a service. Being paid by the pimp to do what the pimp wants them to do. And they take the money willingly and gladly. You can define it and redefine it any way you want. It's old-fashioned prostitution. It's all it is. And these pastors and churches are guilty. Let me give an example. The Southern Baptist head, Al Mohler, this is the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Christian denomination next to the Catholic Church in the world. Al Mohler, this is taken from the title of the article, manipulates flock, suggests Christians have biblical obligation to take Mark of the Beast COVID-19 vaccine. This is written on 12/20 from the vaccineinjurynews.com website. A prominent leader within the largest non-Catholic religious denomination in the United States is urging Christians everywhere to get vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, because this is supposedly what Jesus wants them to do in order to love thy neighbor. Albert Mohler, head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, penned a lengthy article for his briefing newsletter that compares President Donald Trump's warp speed COVID-19 vaccines to the moon landing, calling the jabs, injections, a successful example of mankind's God-ordained dominion over the earth. Now, this guy calls himself a scholar. The head of the largest Southern Baptist seminary in the country. Continuing, because tens of millions of Christians are presumably planning to forego the shot, Mohler is trying to manipulate them into complying using the Bible as a pro-pharma weapon. Wow. Moeller presents 7 points for consideration, supposedly from the Bible, that demonstrate, according to him anyway, how God wants all believers to get jabbed with the experimental injections. Exactly. Pressing against disease and viruses is part of our mandate, Moeller writes, suggesting that people who believe in God have a biblical duty to get vaccinated whenever the government tells them they should. Wow. Heil Hitler. Quote, medical treatment is an extension of God's common grace, and Christians have always understood this. Close quote. Bizarrely, Moeller presents the example of famous American evangelist Jonathan Edwards as proof of the legitimacy of inoculations. Despite the fact that Edwards died from a toxic vaccine injection given to him and receiving, therefore, a lethal case of smallpox, Jonathan Edwards died from being vaccinated, and he was given smallpox in the vaccine, and he died as a result. We are already hearing of people that have been receiving the vaccines that have come down with the COVID virus after having received the vaccination. Many of them have become very ill, and a few of them have died. And the media will not tell you that. So he's using Jonathan Edwards as a case proving this. Moeller openly admits Edwards died of an inoculation. His willingness, Edwards, to get vaccinated at all shows that he appreciated the science of medicine, as should all Christians, according to Moeller. Can you believe that? Yeah, I know they took the shot and the shot killed him, but he was willing to get the shot and he was willing to die from the shot because he's a Bible-believing Christian. Are you following this? Edwards is an example to us all, Moeller goes on to suggest, because he made the point that a biblical Christian worldview understands. The point, according to Moeller, is that everything is orderly and intelligible thanks to pharmaceuticals and vaccines, which are apparently based on the Christian doctrine of creation. The only reason we have an orderly world is thanks to pharmaceuticals. That's in the Bible. That's in Moeller's Bible. That's not in my Bible, but that's in Moeller's Bible. I have no idea what Bible he's using. Moeller also addresses concerns among Christians about COVID-19 vaccines containing ingredients made from aborted human babies, which they are, all of them, dismissing the seriousness of this by claiming, in essence, that no one who is producing the COVID vaccines had any direct involvement in bringing about the abortion, thus rendering the jabs morally aligned with Christian beliefs. So as long as somebody else aborted and killed the little baby, and the person that comes along later and uses the baby products from that abortion to put into their COVID vaccines, as long as the person that's putting it in the vaccine didn't actually commit the abortion, then this is all well and good with Christian doctrine. You know, human trafficking usually takes more than one person. Somebody's got to do the kidnapping, somebody's got to do the killing, somebody's got to do the selling, and somebody's got to do the buying, and then somebody's got to do the implementing of what was bought. I mean, this is a long train of people making money off of dead babies. Some people might approach the issue of vaccination through self-defined terms, Moeller writes, suggesting that those who reject the COVID-19 vaccine are selfish. There's an example. Apostate Christians, leaders, pandering to the beast and the Antichrist system of the beast, and being paid handsomely, by the way, for his appeasement. Again, in my Babylon Revelation message, I show how the Antichrist of mystical Babylon uses pharmaceuticals to deceive and destroy the masses. That's in that message. It's in the New Testament. God warns that part of the deception employed by Antichrist forces involves pharmaceuticals by which they are deceived. The word pharmaceutical comes from the Greek word pharmakia and is translated in the New Testament sorceries, black magic, the power to use drugs to deceive people's minds is part of the Babylon of Revelation 18. And that's exactly what we are seeing today. We were also shown in 2020 the ethical surrender of the medical establishment. A physician's first principle governing his or her professional practice is do no harm. That's the first principle that governs their professional medical practice. But the harm that the medical establishment has inflicted upon society under what is now clearly a manufactured and phony pandemic is incalculable. This quote from a doctor that I'm going to give you comes from our own Dr. Randy Bukacek. Back in April, at the height of the power and pressure of the COVID phony narrative, that physician stood in this podium and spoke to the camera and told about the manipulation of the tests and the death certificates, etc., in order to accommodate the narrative. The pressure that she received from her own medical community was unfathomable. The opposition that she received from the hostile local media was egregiously horrific. But she stood like a champion, never bent, never compromised, and now, all these months later, she is the one who is the shining star, and they are the ones who have fallen into disrepute, disrespect, and total disgrace. Right. Yeah. Let me read what she writes about this. The PCR test, the test that they take to see if you've got COVID. The PCR test, as you know, is the building block, the cornerstone of the current pandemic charade. It is the basis for lockdown, economic and social devastation, death, doctors abandoning patients, and sound medical practices, massive transfer of wealth and power, and development of vaccines. Evidence is mounting, and many think the final verdict is in, that PCR testing is worthless for determining COVID-19 infection and contagion. The oppressive measures have been based on positive PCR tests rather than infected patients. Meaningless positive tests are called case numbers. From case numbers, the rate of infectivity and death are determined, and from hence comes the draconian measures. Dr. Anthony Fauci, Heil Hitler, publicly stating a cycle threshold for PCR testing over 35 is useless, while the WHO and Drosten paper recommends a cycle threshold of 45 cycles. The FDA says run the test to 40 cycles. University of Montana lab uses CT40. Likely the other Montana labs do also. The World Health Organization admits that test positivity is arbitrary. One U.S. study showed by cycle 35, 97% of the positives don't reach clinical significance. In other words, if you have a PCR test and it's 30, 35, 40, 45, the results of the test are absolutely clinically meaningless. Meaningless. And yet these are called cases. And from thence, all the rest of it. One last paragraph she writes, there are multiple lawsuits based on the flaws of PCR testing, including an international lawsuit out of Germany pointing to the harms from restrictions driven by PCR testing. The primary attorney on the case plans to criminally prosecute and sue for civil damages the purveyors of this crime against humanity. With the PCR edifice of this deadly charade crumbling, it looks like this house of cards might fall. God bless you, Dr. Annie. Thank God more and more physicians are seeing the light and standing for the truth about this medical hoax. More and more of them are, and it can't come soon enough. In 2020, we were shown the spiritual surrender of the establishment church, the ethical surrender of the medical establishment. Number three, in 2020, we were shown the surrender of free enterprise by the business establishment. Did you notice how quickly businesses became purveyors of our chains? Masks are symbols of chains. Masks are symbols of slavery. I heard Heil Hitler Fauci say the other day that even after the vaccines take herd immunity, in other words, enough people take them, you still need to wear the masks and maintain social distancing because the virus can mutate. And we're going to have other vaccines to keep up with the mutation of the virus. So we're always going to have another vaccine because the virus is, it's just not behaving and it's mutating from one to the other. And so to be sure you're safe, Fauci, to be sure you're safe. Wear your mask. The vaccine will be replaced by a digital ID, which will have every piece of information about you on that chip. And you will be absolutely, totally regulated in everything you do, including shopping, traveling, work, and everything else. This is nothing more than Orwell's 1984 coming to fruition in 2020. That's all this is. You know, Thomas Jefferson understood the danger of businessmen and their lack of love for freedom. Jefferson wrote, "Merchants have no country. The mere spot they stand on does not constitute as strong an attachment as that from which they draw their gains." We talked about the churches being bribed. Businesses have been bribed as well. Bribed to force us to submit to the government's dictates. Since when do businesses become the enforcement agency of government? Thank God for the courageous merchants, many in this city, who refuse to submit to this tyranny, even at cost to themselves. These merchants not only deserve our respect, they deserve our trade. Fourthly, the surrender of our Constitution and Bill of Rights by the political establishment. Republicans had myriad opportunities over the last 9 months to expose the COVID conspiracy, but they refused to do so, thinking only of the upcoming elections. Need I remind you, Donald Trump was the president who gave Anthony Fauci his totalitarian platform. Trump was the one who initiated Operation Warp Speed using government soldiers to transfer and to bring the vaccinations to the American people. Trump was the one who put the country in a state of emergency not once, not twice, but three times, all of which gave cover for these dictatorial governors, including Steve Bullock, to enact these tyrannical laws against the freedoms of the people. Trump did all of this. Yet conservative Republicans talk and behave like there's some kind of huge difference between the tyrannous conduct of Trump and the Democrats who came before him. Really? Show me the differences. Excuse me. But Donald Trump, what he did was expose the moral, ethical, and spiritual bankruptcy of the hearts of Christians and conservatives all over America. That's what he did. He exposed the moral, ethical, and spiritual bankruptcy of the hearts of Christians and conservatives. To real freedom-loving Christians and non-Christians, people who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the Bill of Rights, who believe in our Declaration of Independence, who believe in the natural laws of God given us at creation, codified in not only our Declaration but the rest of our founding documents. Real freedom-loving Christians and others do not care whether the tyrant is a Republican or a Democrat. All we care about is liberty and truth. To to Hades with the Republican Party, to Hades with the Democrat Party, to Hades with the political partisans who cannot see beyond the party that they support and are willing to sacrifice the freedoms and liberties of the people in the name of party partisanship. I'm sorry, that's not a real freedomist. Tomorrow, a Republican governor will take office in Montana. And he has a Republican House and a Republican Senate. We will see how much difference it makes. If Mr. Gianforte does the right thing in office, if he helps rid this state of these infernal COVID lockdowns and restrictions, we will give him the praise he deserves. If he continues with the policies of Steve Bullock and maintains these draconian lockdowns, we will spare him no more than we spared Steve Bullock. Mr. Gianforte, I know there's people that are close to him that are watching. You will not take an oath tomorrow to the Republican Party. You will not take an oath tomorrow to conservatism. When you stand and take your oath of office, you will swear allegiance in the face of God and the people of Montana that you will faithfully protect, support, and defend the Constitution of the United States and of this state, and that only is the standard by which you will be judged. And yes, briefly, we were also shown the almost universal control of despotic Zionism over the Marxist New York media and totalitarian technocrats in Silicon Valley. But by the same token, we were also shown that liberty is not dead in the hearts of millions of people. Not dead. As cowardly churches close their doors, liberty-loving Christians by the thousands sought truth. And in that search for truth, they found Liberty Fellowship. Thousands. As a result, the influence and exposure of Liberty Fellowship increased more in 2020 than at any time in our 10-year history. I mean, in one way, we ought to say thanks to the Antichrist for this assault against the liberties of our people, because it has driven tens of thousands of people to the truth. People all over America are separating from the Babylonish churches and are seeking fellowship with genuine New Testament believers. I personally believe the establishment traditional church is finished. It's dead. It has nothing more to offer the American people. It has proven itself to be irrelevant, weak, anemic, and cowardly. Churches have lost and are losing members by the droves as people are tired of submitting to these tyrannical lockdowns perpetrated by the pastors in the church. They are seeking fresh fellowship. They are seeking people of like mind. They're willing to meet online. They're willing to meet in small groups. We have hundreds of satellite fellowships for Liberty Fellowship all over the world. Go to our Liberty Fellowship website, and there's a link that says satellite fellowships. Click that, and you'll see people all around the states and foreign countries who are meeting together in their homes, in small groups, as families and friends, in their living rooms or in other small places, and are coming together around freedom, around Christ, around the truth, separated from the beastly system, separated from the Babylonish Antichrist system, refusing to participate. Hundreds of them every week watching Liberty Fellowship, spreading the message, telling people about it, people finding us, discovering us, telling other people about it. This is just one medium. There are others out there likewise who are preaching truth, who are not submitting to the beastly system. I predict another few years, you won't even be able to recognize the establishment church. It'll be so torn asunder. It's about time. Any church that could shut its doors for 9 months at the dictate of an evil civil government, any church that would close its doors for 9 months in obeisance to the beast doesn't deserve to reopen. Turn it into a bowling alley. Turn it into a shopping center. It's not a church. It's an apostate organization that's deceiving people by the masses. And it's time for people to realize what's true and what's false. As I said at the beginning of this address, from Isaiah 48, the exiled Jews separated from Babylon. The Christian Jews separated from Jerusalem. The spiritual Jews, all those in Christ, separated from the mystical revelation Babylon. That was the new thing that God showed Isaiah and told the people. I believe the separation from the mystical Babylon has begun in earnest. The spiritual separation from Babylon will eventually include, and I'll make this comment and leave it for later, a commercial and economic separation from Babylon that's coming. Because the way the beast will control us will be through our economic activity. A true separation from the beastly system at some point will include a commercial and economic separation. Yes, God showed us much in 2020. Much about those around us. Much about our pastors and churches. Much about our civil magistrates. Much about our physicians, teachers, merchants, media, and bankers. And yes, much about ourselves. And as we go forward, God will be showing us much about Himself. Let's stand for a word of prayer.